Parshas Mishpatim Be'emes is a continuity of Parshas Yitzchak. The major ingredient of the subject of Matan Torah, which was Klal Yisrael's famous response, Naseh V'Nishma, that was brought down in this week's Parsha, not last week's Parsha. We all know what's the major ingredient of Matan Torah. That Hashem gave the Torah, is that the main thing? No, the main thing is that the Jewish people accept it. And not only they accept it, they accept it in this unique way, which is called Naseh V'Nishma. They preceded saying Naseh, we will do, and only then said Nishma. By saying Naseh V'Nishma, we will do, and only then hear. Because Baruch was so impressed with them that came out of Bastum and said, Mi Gilo Rozel Borai, who revealed this tremendous secret to my... It's a secret, it's a soid. And the Jewish people knew to say just the right thing. Naseh V'Nishma, instead of saying, oh, that's very nice, they said, Naseh V'Nishma, it's a soid. And in the wake of that, Malach HaShoz came down and gave each one of them two crowns. Just like Chazal, they got two crowns, one for Naseh, one for Nishma. And so this is not just another detail, this is the spitz, peak of what Matan Torah is. And that's brought down in Parshas Mishpatim, at the end of Parshas Mishpatim. Why is a topic which we've discussed before, we won't go into today, but we want to discuss what is the Chiddush of Naseh V'Nishma. Maybe to precede it, presenting a question, maybe a bit rhetoric, but the obvious question is of course like this. Jewish people came out of Mitzrayim, and they know why they're coming out. There have been 10 plagues. After the 10 plagues, there's a process. Moshe Rabbeinu told them what's going to happen at the end. You're going to go out of Mitzrayim, you're going to receive the Torah. They knew they were going. After the 10 plagues, they've got out of Mitzrayim, there was Kriyas Yamsuf. At the end of Kriyas Yamsuf, there was lots of money on the side of the Yam. And the Jewish people were busy collecting the Bizas Hayam. And what's written in Chazal, Moshe Rabbeinu asked the people to move along. And he says, excuse me, Moshe, we've got a mitzvah. What's the mitzvah? Bizas Hayam, a big mitzvah. And they all said, we're doing a mitzvah. Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't tell them they're not doing a mitzvah. But by Yasa, he had to push them on. And it's written in the Zohar HaKadosh, how did he push them on? It's written he pushed them on to Midbar Shur. What's Midbar Shur, says the Zohar HaKadosh? Shur Meloshin Ashuren Ovalayashav. I will see him later. See, Meloshin Shur. Moshe Rabbeinu could not convince the Jewish people to move ahead till he showed them that in the Midbar they're going to see Shechina. Where will they see Shechina in the Midbar? Why do they call it Midbar Shur, not Midbar Sinai? Midbar Shur, it's a Midbar where they will see tremendous sights. So they knew where they're going. So they're going to see tremendous spiritual sights. We need the money, we'll go. And they did. They didn't take all the Bizayam, they went. But they went in between through the Nase of Melchemes Amalek. They're in between receive Mon. These people know where they're going. And they stood in front of the Har for 3 days. And now we're going to be told when Kadosh Baruch Hu eventually revealed himself to them, and they said, Naseh V'Nishma, we say they're great guys. And not only they're great guys, they got a compliment, Migila Razel Abona, who revealed this. Of course they would say Naseh V'Nishma. This is what they came out for. They came out for the first time Kadosh Baruch Hu met Moshe Rabbeinu, he said, okay, when you got out of Mitzrayim, Tavdur Elokim Bo'Horazeh, this is where you're going to serve Hashem. This is the mandate. How many people did not come out of Egypt? 1/5 only came out, at best. Where were all the others? They're the ones who weren't interested in joining Matan Torah. Those who weren't interested. Not interested, not interested. But those are, of course, that's what they're going for. Maybe yet more. Who gave them the Torah? It wasn't a salesman knocking on the door and saying, would you like to buy something? It was Hashem himself. Hashem, who revealed himself with a total clarity, the Chazal say on the Pasuk. Hinini bo elecho ba'av he'orah, I'm coming to you in the thickness of the cloud. Bavu yishma ha'om bedabri itok. So the Klal Yisrael should hear when I speak to you. And the Rambam, and the Ramban, and the Drosh Hazaran all say the same idea with different nuschois, but the idea is, Klal Yisrael at Matan Torah did not just be aware that Hashem was giving the Torah. They actually heard and perceived themselves as Nevi'im, Hashem telling them, listen to Moshe Rabbeinu. And they say, Onoichi Hashem lekecho, ed lo yiyeh lecho.
were heard with piagvura. Says the pasuk, "Hineni boi lecha ba'av he'onan," I'm coming to you in the thickness of the cloud. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't need to be exposed to a thick cloud. He usually came to a thin cloud, which indicates a clarity. Why was there a thicker cloud? Baro Yishma Ombidabri Tov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted the people also to be able to perceive. For Klal Yisrael to see Nevi'ahs, they needed to have a much bigger, what we call, buffer zone. Hinni Bolecha Ba'av He'onon. With a fatter, heavier onon. So, but every which is Baro Yishma Ombidabri Tov. The Om can see when I am speaking to you. All Klal Yisrael saw Hashem speaking to. In such a situation, you have a choice about saying Na'aseh v'nishma. It's pretty straightforward. First answer, which is important to know, is, and that's the Yisoy v'shteit here, Pashim Mishpatim, Api the call of Emuk to Mukhabatera, that the word Na'aseh v'nishma, they didn't say after the experience, they said it before Matan Torah. When Moshe Rabbeinu was presenting that there's going to be Matan Torah, and he gave him a Sefer Bris, if you remember, what's a Sefer Bris? The Matan, that the Divrei Torah from Bereishis till Parshas Matan Torah, that whole section until now of the Chumash, Bereishis, Noach, Lech Lecha, Vayero, Chayasor, all this, including Boi, Bishalach, all this he gave them, as Ishtetan Chazal, Rashi brings down, Mi Bereishis till Matan Torah. That's what the Sefer Bris, and on that they say Na'aseh v'nishma, i.e., the Na'aseh v'nishma was said before the revelation, but it was anticipated. To understand a little bit better what the big shevach of Klal Yisrael, the big praise of Klal Yisrael, when they say Na'aseh v'nishma, we want to hear who didn't say Na'aseh v'nishma. What did the Goyim say? And we know that the famous story, HaKadosh Baruch Hu offered the Torah to all the Goyim, and they all asked the same question. Let's hear what's written in the Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered, Loi Zirtzach, Loi Sinof, Loi Sigzoi.
And he gave each one a particular answer which ideally suited that person. And they got an answer which gave them typical description of the most difficult Nisoyan which they have, and told them, Loi Sigzoi, you're not allowed to steal. Or you're not allowed to kill, or you're not allowed to adulter, or any of the other Avedas. And what did the various Goyim say? Loi Buyida, we don't want interested. We don't want to hear about this story, not for us. They gave an excuse. Our father told us how to steal. Our grandfather told us how to kill. We have a family tradition of adultery. It's not for us. That was the Berach, what they said. And the obvious question comes, if Hashem Yisbarach is doing a job of trying to sell the Goyim, and he is trying to sell the Goyim Torah, like we learned in the Ramachal, they had an opportunity to join in, and also that there wouldn't just be one Amanivcha, the Jewish people, there wouldn't be just one chosen people. Everybody who would want could join in. Last opportunity was Matan Torah. Why was it that Hashem offered them the most difficult thing? For example, offering Esav's Loi Sirtzach is almost a stira b'neimine. It's an almost internal contradiction. Loi Sirtzach, it doesn't sting, it doesn't go. And Loi Signov to them, and won't say to. And Loi Sinov to the others also won't say to. But we all know this is just not very popular. It's antithesis of acceptance. So nobody's going to accept it. It's bad salesmanship. But it should show some of the beauties of the Torah. Some of the humanism in the Torah, how about that? Wouldn't they have bought it? Yeah? Some of the ecological dinim in there, beautiful ecological locus in the Torah. Yeah, popular Greenpeace dinim, keep everybody happy. Benor mechaveira, eze yopi. Tell them some other dinim as well. You can't eat all the animals, the vegetarian people also be happy. Some animals, yeah, but not all of them, you know? We'll keep everybody happy. They'll go running for Torah. Abba, I want you to hear, Rabbi, so there's a moira dikhi yasoid over here, principle. Hashem did not come to the Goy and say, listen, there is a Torah being given which forbids you to kill, or which forbids you to steal, or forbids you to do any of the other abominations which the Torah prevents, or forbids. You know what the Torah says? I'm going to give you not an instruction book, I'm going to give you a medicine. if you will learn Torah correctly, you'll be able to clean yourself from this blemish, which is called loisirtzach. You'll clean yourself of this blemish of wanting somebody else's money. You'll clean yourself of this blemish of wanting being an adulterer. That is what the Torah is giving. So Kadosh Baruch Hu was basically saying to the guy, I appreciate your problem. I do. I understand you have a netiyah, a drive in a very negative direction. That's why I'm giving you the Torah. Learn Torah, accept Torah, and rectify your problem. But what does he say to the guy? I don't want to improve. I want to remain a hunter. I want to remain a hunter. Not only of animals. Because what does Esav say? Al charbuchotichye. I get a chius. A chius means I get a, not only life, I get, that's a geschmack. I got a pleasure out of cherev. We don't want to discuss the details of the media, but everybody is aware that apart from the problems of morality which exist in the media, there's a tremendous lot of violence in it. Why do so many people spend so many hours watching violence and enjoying it? That's their pleasure of doing violence without being called by the police. That's all. But a person who's got a healthy mind, it hurts him to see violence. It abominates him to even notice it. He'll never watch something where they show violence because violence is against him. Torah is supposed to tell you, I don't want to see violence. It's abominating. It hurts me to see it. And the same preachers, the same immorality, and the same any of the other evils. There's no hero in a crook. The hero is in the tzaddik. Just a hepach. So the Torah was going to give them not a difficult instruction. Not the Torah was going to give them a hard time. The Torah was going to give them a refuah for the biggest problem. But a refuah only helps. A refuah is a medicine. It only helps if you know you're ill. And when they think they're healthy, there's nothing you can do. They say we live from this. This gives us gishmak. You don't know what it is with gishmak. A bottle of whiskey and a bit of achzoris. These two together gives me gishmak. Listen, Torah is not offering us something better. We want to refuel. We don't want to refuel. We want to remain ill. You want to remain ill? We can't help you. That's the rejection of the guy. And it goes a step further. It goes one step deeper. That deeper step means that prior to them hearing what was in the Torah, they basically said, Ma kosu b'Torah. All answered, let's hear what's in the Torah. What's in the Torah? Let's discuss it. The same as if somebody comes to you and offers you an insurance program, insurance policy, you say, well, let's see what you offer it, what the price, what is the deal, let's see, we'll discuss it. By the very fact that you are discussing whether or not to take, you assume you are sovereign to determine whether or not what you're being offered is good or bad for you. That alone was rejection of the Torah. There's no bigger rejection than turning to Hashem and say, I'll decide whether what you're giving me is good or bad. Achutzpah. That's such a cheat. You will decide whether what Hashem is giving you is good or bad. Then you don't know what Hashem is, and you don't know what the Torah is, and you're not going to get in any case. I'll give you the most difficult thing. So there was a rejection in the Shaila Makos of the Torah. You hear what's going on? By saying my conservative is basically saying, listen, I will make the determining, I'm the judge, whether you, Hashem, understand what's good or bad. If you're the judge, you don't understand Torah. Now we reflect from that. Mi oy vaitchakmeini, what the Klal Yisrael did do. When Klal Yisrael said, Natan Nishma was on those two things. Do you think Klal Yisrael didn't have any negative drives? Oh, they had. But they said they'd accept the Torah because it will repair their drives, make them more adin, make them more spiritual, make them more elevated. They will accept the Torah. Do you think that Klal Yisrael didn't have any concern about some surprises down the road? Unexpected halachas that they're not familiar with might be very difficult to handle? Yes. It might be so. There might be some very difficult halachas. But if Hashem gives it to me, if it is emes, I'm not going to determine whether emes is emes. Do you hear what I'm saying? Truth is truth. But you can say, I'm going to have a debate, and I'm going to be sovereign to decide whether truth is true. If you're going to decide whether truth is true or not true, then you are deciding whether you are emes or you are sheker. That's what you're saying.
And Klal Yisrael understood, if Hashem, who made the world, took down Mitzrayim, he is giving the Torah, there might be a lot of hidden things in it which, when we find out about, will be difficult. There might be a lot of details which will be against our nature and a big test in Yisrael. But we're going to accept it. You know why? Because Emes is Emes. We're not going to be Sheker Mul Emes. Sheker and Emes just don't fit together. It's not even a Mabeya. Yeah? But today's world, you want to live in the Olam HaSheker. People live in the Olam HaDimyon, the Olam HaSheker. Emes means one comes to a decision of what the real Emes is. What's the Emes? Hashem, who made the world and knows the people and knows the world, knows this is the right thing, this is a good thing. If he gave it to you, what are you coming to say, I'll check whether it's good or not. You will check whether it's good or not. Means that you feel you have bigger criteria of determining what's Emes or Sheker than Keshbachu is Hashem and Akechem Emes. There's a mistake here. And that's what Kadosh Godless was. They forfeited by saying Naseh Nishma, they forfeited their power of determining, their power of choosing, their power of decision. And there's no power which a man wants more than that. Do you know that when you meet even the lowest life, the lowest standard, what they call in Torah Dikaloshen, in the folklore, a balagola, in modern terms, a taxi driver, yes? You find out that the little area which he's in charge of, and he'll let you know all about it. And he'll show all the power he has and show you that he's in charge. And the whole way down, when everyone has to do with a clerk who's a bit smaller than the previous one, he'll have to show you how really big he is because of something he's in charge of. Even the dustman collectors are in charge of something, they'll show you that. They've all got the ways of doing it. A person should give away his own bechira, his own personal capacity of deciding what's good or bad or right or wrong, because he submits to this emes which Kadosh Baruch Hu transmitted and recognizes that this emes is so great that it is worth my while to submit my own because I'm exposed to the real emes. That's almost submitting one of the most difficult elements of life. Naseh v'nishma is a soid. But you know what the soid is? Naseh v'nishma is the soid dafka of the highest wisdom of man. Why is it the soid of the highest wisdom for man? Because man, as we're going to explain later, lives in a peculiar world. It's a world where his sight, knowledge, understanding is by definition limited. And his ability to know what's good and not good is restricted to the information and the capacity of mind which he has. And here, he got inside information. Can you ever believe there was somebody who got an opportunity of getting inside information? I'm not going to explain what it is, but I'm sure most of you know. Inside information gives you the opportunity of buying those shares which you know tomorrow are going up and not going to fall. And you've got inside information. It's a big nesoi not to take it. Why? Because it's illegal. But let's say it was told it's legal to use inside information. You got a fool who wouldn't? Or even bigger fool who would go short against the inside information? He knows the thing's going up and he's going to buy down. He knows going down, he'll buy up. That's what Klal Yisrael came to the recognition of. Matan Torah, Naseh v'nishma. They elevate themselves to the degree to say, listen, we're living in a world which is very limited. And here we've got a GPS. You know what the GPS is? It shows the way. GPS, you know these things, when you drive in a car, you don't know your way. The GPS shows you turn right, turn left, and Bez Hashem, you get to your destination in the shortest possible way. And the fellow argues with the GPS, no, you're wrong. And he's, you know what you're talking about? And he switches it off, or even gives a patch. You know, he says, I'm going the other way. I don't mind you go the other way, but the GPS knows where you're supposed to go. And he's telling me he's wrong. He shouts at him, come and shoot him dancing. The GPS has got a sight from satellite up there. His information is far bigger than yours. You think you know, but you also know that he knows. And he knows more than you. It's a big gedulah to give up. You know what the Torah says? The GPS you bought yourself. And you paid money for it. And you bought it in order to be your instructor. So you submit yourself to it. Because I decided to take the GPS. Oh, but Matan Torah was a much higher thing. Matan Torah was one's own recognition of submitting one's koyach ha-hachro, one's determining factor of emes and sheker, to the emes itself. That's a submission
which almost gives up man's entity, but it makes man the real man. Because now man is suddenly living in the right world. He's mechuber la karka. Not to the karka down here. He's mechuber. Means he is connected to the karka of Kodesh Baruch Hu. He's mechuber to the karka el yoino. He's mechuber to the emes in a way that his life has got a shape and a form and a purpose. That's why they got the baskel migila who revealed goyah zeh lebonai. You know what the secret is? There's a tremendous secret in a person being able to give up one of the things which the Yetzirah makes him think is the whole me, and by doing that he becomes a me. His whole I he gives up to become a real I. The greatest madrega a person can get in this world is, the greatest achievement he can get is, a closeness to Hashem is Baruch Hu made the world, and that will come by recognizing Hashem in the right way. Nasa v'nishma. It involves a certain sacrifice, but that sacrifice makes you the peak man. Nasa v'nishma, that's peak Kal Yisrael. Mi gilagaz elabona, and they got for that the gift of the two ksorah, which you don't have time to go into now. Taking this one step further, if Klal Yisrael would have responded slightly different, it might have been recommendable, it might have indicated wisdom, but it would not have been a fulfillment of Na'asa v'Nishma. I can imagine quite a few people being exposed to absolute emes, and then watching it and they say, psst, yes, that is true. I admit it's true. It's 100% true. And everybody I meet, I'm going to tell it's true. Would that be Na'asa v'Nishma? You know what that would be? That would be exactly what the Yetzirah wants everybody who's exposed to the emes to do. A fool exposed to emes, I don't recognize it. We're not talking about it. The Yetzirah has got to handle with wise people as well. What does the Yetzirah do when you've got a wise person? He gets exposed to the truth. And the truth blasts away the Yetzirah. Do you know what he do? He says, yeah, it's true. I admit it's true. It's great. We're not asking you whether it's great. We're not asking you whether it's good. We're asking you to do. Oh, wait a minute. That's not a parsha. Do you hear what we're saying? The godless of Klal Yisrael is recognizing that when you see the truth, it's not good enough to make an acknowledgement, it's true, to give out a statement and a admission, it's true. You've got to give out a undertaking, a commitment to carry out what the truth demands. That's Na'asa v'Nishma. Truth is mechayev to operate accordingly. It's not just saying it's right. It's more like saying, the GPS is right. That's the way to Yerushalayim, but I'm going the other direction. I'm going up north. I'm going to get to Yerushalayim. That's ridiculous. If you take, understand emes, you got to do it. Do you know how many people say, oh yeah, that's true. It's fine. I admit it's true. But do they do it? They don't do it. Not only was there a chiddush of Na'asa v'Nishma that they converted the recognition of truth into commitment of action and went much further. And here's a delicate point which we have to focus on because it's mamish neged to every one of ourselves. Moiradik. When a person makes a commitment, the translation of a commitment, of a schaivus, of a kabbalah is that he does not undertake for the time, he does not undertake for the time where he sees what he sees now. He undertakes for the time where everything looks the opposite of what he sees now. Could I give you an example? A person goes under the chuppah, he gets married. Siyata Nishmai, there's going to be Sholem Bayis for 120 years. It doesn't always happen exactly according to plan. Pretty close, not always 100% to the plan. He makes, under the marriage, a commitment. And we hope she does as well. What is the commitment which is being made? If there is, at a later stage, any time between now and 120, the same Avo, V'Achvo, V'Sholoi, V'Reus, which you have, that's the Nusra of the Brocha, not the Chuppah. You have that same Avo, V'Achvo, and Sholoi, V'Reus, the whole life. Do you need a commitment? No. You don't need a commitment. Nobody gets under the Chuppah because of commitment. He wants to. Or what's he making a commitment for? Or what does he want her to make a commitment for? For the time when the Ava, Achva, and Sholem Vareus have diminished. For whatever reason, we're not going there. It happens. There's been an ebb in the Ava, the Achva, and Sholem Vareus. There might be stress and strain on the Ava, the Achva, and Sholem Vareus. And on that scenario, he made a commitment. She made a commitment. Commitment is not for the good times, it's for the ungood times. Commitment is not for the time when it's easy, it's for the difficult times. Commitment is not for the time when you would anyway want to do it, it's for the time you want to do the other way around. That's what commitment covers. Good? So again, when we say that Klal Yisrael, when Mekabel the Torah and the marrying, Kabbalah the Torah is compared in Shir Hashirim to marriage, V'yem Chasunasa, V'yem Simchas Liboy, one of the elements of the comparison to marriage is, you are not making just a decision, it's emes. You're not only saying it's good, the Torah, and you're not saying I will do it when it suits me, because when I fall, well, I understand it's right. And tomorrow, I'll also understand it's right, and therefore I will do it. No! Commitment means you undertake to do it even if you won't understand tomorrow. Commitment now, that even if tomorrow I'm in difficulties, I'll still go through with it. Do you hear the difference? That's Naaseh v'Nishma on a new level. It's not Naaseh v'Nishma that, oh yes, we have seen clarity now, and since we see clarity, we're going to go through with it. Naaseh v'Nishma means, we've seen clarity which is enough to convince us to go through, even for times when we don't see clarity. That's the get of Naaseh v'Nishma. Migila Gozer Abonai. This is a secret. This is the emes. The emes is that Kadosh Baruch Hu sometimes reveals himself more, and often reveals himself less. And we have to have a stability of commitment to Hashem Yisborach, irrespective of how high or low the revelation is, how clear or unclear the revelation is. That's Naaseh v'Nishma at its peak. Maybe one stage further. Klal Yisrael were told in that bris of the Torah on the pasuk Yom Hashishi, a very critical factor. So Rabbi Yisrael, you're going to Matan Torah. If you're going to accept the Torah, fine. And if you don't accept the Torah, you know what's going to happen to the whole world? It's going to come to Tohu Vavohu. Now, what's written in the Loshon Chazal, the Gemara in Shabbos Pesayin, Imat Mekabel and Torah Mutov, Vimlav, and if not, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring the whole world back to Tohu Vavohu, brought down on Rashi on the pasuk Yom Hashishi. It's written there, if you hear the Torah, you say it's Emes. It's written in Atem Mekabli Mesoteira. What's Mekabli mean? And Mekabli means an acceptance, even for times that it will not be as clear. That's the Pshat Mekabli. In Atem Mekabli Mesoteira means even acceptance, even for such times when the clarity is difficult. If not, what would have happened to the world? Go back to Tohu Vavohu. It would have gone back to Tohu Vavohu. Ad kidei kach, that it's Mufurish in the Malbim, other Mufurishim, they say this is not a one-time happening. It is the same as Kadosh Baruch Hu told Klal Yisrael at Matan Torah, if you accept the Torah, fine, if not, the world is going to go back to Tohu Vavohu, to null and void. Hu Adin, identical to that, throughout our lives. Yes, throughout our lives. If we accept Torah, our lives have a purpose. And if not, you know what our lives are? Null and void. Makes a difference how rich and successful he might be in the eyes of the press. His life is useless and null and void. We need a Kabbalah Satorah to give meaningfulness for the life. That's why the Inyan of Imata Makabri and Tehramutu remains Arayim Azeh, and our Kabbalah is Arayim Azeh. I want to tell you a story, which I heard personally from a person who I'm going to change the name, Lichvoid the Mishpacha. I'm going to call him Mr. Jacobs. And he told me a story from his father, who was called Dr. Jacobs, in the wake of a story which happened with his father, who was called Rabbi Dr. Jacobs. Told the story like this. The grandfather used to live in a house in Germany. The story is, I lived a house in Germany. And the old Gothic German houses, if anybody's ever seen them or is aware of them, they are really complicated houses. You go in the a few steps up to get into the house. When you get into the house, you've got this huge doorway. Then you go down a few steps to the kitchen level. You go another few steps up to the living room levels. And there's all type of alleyways and ups and downs and bedrooms. Another level upstairs in the bathroom. Another half level. And this is what they really enjoy. Another staircase. Another way. This was the real house. No. The grandfather lived in one of those houses. And Baruch Hashem, he lived to a pretty old age. And as he got older, it became more and more difficult for him and his wife to function in this house. Because they were an old couple already. All the children had left, got married and gone. And they can't function. They need a flat. In a flat, all the same level. It's simple. They should go into it. Their son, Dr. Jacobs, tried his very best, not very best, more than that, to convince his father, who was a very intelligent man, and his mother, you should leave this. Sell this huge house, buy a useful apartment, ground floor, one floor, everything accessible, the kitchen, the bedroom, the dining room, the facilities, all on one level, and you'd be able to live much more comfortable, much easier. How can I leave? Here I made a simcha, here I made a siyun, here my uncle was born. You know, all these type of tininess which come by old people having difficulties getting, releasing from their experiences. And never mind how much the son of the grandfather tried to convince him, he was unsuccessful in convincing him. So this son of the grandfather, who's now the father of Mr. Jacobs, we're talking Dr. Jacobs, the father of Mr. Jacobs, at one stage, when he was 60 years old, called his son, Mr. Jacobs, who was at the time about 30 years old, and told him the whole story. He says, I'm telling you the story for a purpose. I saw from this that my parents, however intelligent and wise they were, came to a stage in their lives that they don't know what's good for them. They think it's good for them, the old house, but it's not good for them. So probably the same is going to happen to me, he says. He lived in England already, and it probably in the English houses aren't much better. They've also got these ups and downs and these alleyways, these old English houses. So he says, listen, it's going to happen to me as well at one stage. I'm asking you already now, when you, who are younger, will recognize and monitor, I've come to a stage that my house is not good for me, don't ask me anything. Sell the house, buy me a flat. And so Mr. Jacobs did to his father and his mother, who were all upset. You sold my house? Yeah, you told me to. Okay, you're right. You told me to, I'll do it. And he moved to a flat, and I knew him, he lived till 98 years old. Craven Walk there. He lived in on the corner there, on the flats there in Craven Walk, till 98 years old he lived. And only because he moved to a flat, which was accessible for him and his wife, they managed to function. Had he been in the house that he had before, the huge house, he would have gone probably 10 years early, wouldn't have made it. Now, the story is a story to know Chochmas HaChaim. I want to use this story as an example of what it means, submitting the koyach, ha-chlota, to somebody else. It's not easy. I want you to know, I knew that man. He was a very wise man, that doctor who gave over to his son the power to decide. How many people are wise enough to do that? Because it means recognize, I might come to a time where I'm not wise enough to decide. And when the time came, he argued with all his koyach, because he still thought he was wise. He thought he was still wise. And he had 100 reasons why, yes, but now and tomorrow, another year and that. But no, the mandate had already been done on a legal way. He had a lawyer there to have written over. The son took over. He went over to automatic, being run by somebody else. Do you understand the idea? Submission of his power of decision. That's the example. Halacha l'maisa, what's nager to us, I'm trying to show you from a personal story, which everybody understood the maisa for the benefit of this older man, and he himself understood it when he was 40 or 60, but he didn't understand it when he was 80. That's what happened at Matan Torah. At Matan Torah, they didn't just accept the Torah. They didn't say it's right. They made a commitment. You know what commitment means? We seek clarity today, which will enable us to make a decision. And the implication of that decision will have irrelevance, even for times. Not only we will not understand, but we'll hold the opposite. But we recognize now that if we hold the opposite at a later stage, it's a function of weakness of mind, emotional, or any other causes. And therefore, we nullify it, Mirosh. Like the bittel moidor from Erevos Yishmoni, for Shlesh Lomayin. That's what I'm saying, halacha as well. Moidor, bittel moidor, that's what I'm saying. First time, I've got a day and now that my day tomorrow might be wrong. That's Kabbalah Sotera. You hear the idea? That's Nasa Nisha. That's a Gila Rose Elabonai. Good? Taking this a stage further. Chazal tells us also Gemara in Shabbos Peches, which Rashi brings down on the posuk of Yamdu, they stood betachti sahor, that at Matan Torah, Kadosh Baruch Hu did a very interesting and peculiar thing. He picked up the mountain of Sinai, mountain of Har Sinai, and dangled it on top of the Jewish people, and said to them, Im atam mekabelim satira mutav, if you accept the Torah, great, fine, we accept that, it's great. V'im lav, and if not, Shom tehei kvurastam, this is going to be your burial ground, communal burial ground for all the Jewish people. It is not a very simchadika feeling to be suddenly standing there and see a big mountain dangling on top of you. It's pretty frightening. It's pretty morbid to be threatened like that. And I don't think very many people would stand such a threat. It's not poshut. And the Tosfos, like other Meforshim, want to know, what's going on here? This happened during Matan Torah. What did they say before Matan Torah? Nasa v'nishma. What do you want these guys? The guy says Nasa Nishma. He's a tzaddik. Not only is he a tzaddik, he got two kessers. The Kol Kaisel got two crowns for saying Nasa v'nishma. Kadosh Baruch Hu lets out a basket and says Migila Rozeh Laboray. There's a tremendous secret which the Jewish people revealed that the Torah is so great I should accept it. And suddenly the guns come out. Would you accept it? We may accept it. And it's not only that. If you're not going to kill you, who's going to be kidding? That's tzaddikim. They accept the Torah. What is it necessary for? Rabbi Yisai, we're going to discuss this. We've done so before. We're going to discuss it with the Oymik Tikka Oifen. B'siyatzibai, we'll take from out a pragmatic halacha l'maisa for ourselves. Adoineinu Amaral, in many places, in his explanations of Chazal, was a pioneer in explaining that behind every story which Chazal tell of this sort, there was a concept which not means that the story did not happen, but is what the story meant to intellectual people. Again, there are those who will always give you a nice idea behind what happened. It means this happened. A concept. That's not what the Maral says. Maral says, the Torah says, that was Kofar HaKigigis, it happened. But he says, it depends on the level of the people to who Hashem is talking to, how they would interpret it. If this happened to a geologist, he'd start scratching his head, wait a minute, how did the mountain pick itself up? How did this happen? And he start analyzing what kind of stones or sand or other activities got into other materials, and he was getting out. Do you understand what I'm saying? He'd study it his way. You would offer the same story to a very, simple person. You say, you're going to die in a few minutes. I have to write a will. Who are you going to write a will to? Your son is also under the mountain. Now, in the same way, says the Maral, the people we were talking to were very high, elevated and spiritual people. And they were not wasting time in saying, well, there's a mountain on top of us. What's going to happen? They meant to say, there's a mountain on top of us, but what does it mean? That's what they were occupied with. In the same as we can't go into it now, when they went through Yamsuf and they saw water splitting, they didn't say, shoo, this is great. They said, what does it mean? They tried to understand what Hashem meant with that to them. They interpreted. They tried to understand it. They were thinkers. They weren't simple people. They were highly elevated people. Matan Torah, Dor of Dora Midbar in the Midbar, they were very high in the Neshamas. Says the Maral, a brilliant insight. Choice always is a function of two alternatives which equally seem plausible. Choice needs to have two options, at least, which each one is something to talk about. There is no opportunity of having choice in two situations. If a person stands with a gun and prevents one, option, you don't have an option. But there's another way of preventing choice. If one realizes the consequence of that choice are devastating, then the choice also doesn't exist. And we're going to use in the form of a marshal, a very simple marshal, then we go to a little deeper because I've got a lot of levels to it. This says a child who is crawling around 2 years old on the floor, doesn't have much seichel yet, does not really understand what's wrong with sticking its finger into the electricity. And certainly if it's got a little metal thing, to take the metal thing and stick it in and see how deep it can go, the child doesn't have any understanding what's wrong with that. Unfortunately, if he will do it, it'll be too late to explain him. It's over. Sometimes not. Depends on this what it is, but it's very dangerous. Can you imagine a father who's a professor of electricity trying to explain his little kid, 1.5 years old, 2 years old, what exactly happens and when this electrical thing is touched, and therefore don't touch it. The child doesn't listen to him, and doesn't laugh at him, doesn't cry at him, he just ignores him. He doesn't know what's going on. He doesn't know what's flying. He has no way of understanding it. What will the father do? He'll either block it, or he'll give him a patch. We're not discussing whether the right thing is to hit or not. He'll tell him, this is dangerous, it hurts. He'll give him a patch. He knows this hurts. And he won't do it. He hasn't got the way of being spoken to. When the child gets a bit more intelligent and understands, does the father have to tell him, the big professor have to explain how electricity works? He doesn't have to know how electricity works. It's of no consequence how it works. He knows it's dangerous. He knows it's seriously dangerous. He keep away from it. You never see an intelligent person trying to see what it feels like getting an electric shock. Nobody's ever experimented on that. And if he did it the last time, he won't be able to tell us about it. Nobody's ever tried such a thing. Oh, but the only one who would try it, somebody doesn't know what it is. So that would be an example that being aware of the serious consequences of an action are tantamount to having a gun there telling you not to do it. Says the Maharal, the Bnei Yisrael at Matan Torah were going through a tremendously elevated experience of Hashem revealing Himself, and not only revealing Himself, clarity showing them that the whole world has got only one purpose, Avodas Hashem. They themselves became Nevi'im, they themselves saw the truth, the Goyim as HaKodesh, they got elevated to a level which people haven't been before. They understood what life's all about. They were simultaneously aware that this experience would be temporary. This experience would be temporary. They wouldn't remain in that level the whole time, because Necha Yetzalam Elibam. And if they were at that Madrega the whole time, they'd have no choice. So it was a temporary stage, says the Maharal, beautiful. When Klal Yisrael saw the truth with such absolute clarity, they understood that if you're Shomer Shabbos, and you eat Kashrus, and you're Nizar from Averas, it's good. And you get Schar, and it's Toiv, and you fit in the Emes. And if you do Averas, it's Ra. They understood it. Like an older person understood, electricity is dangerous. Electricity is a serious danger. Doesn't need explanation. But what will happen if a person becomes backward, not gets older, gets younger, and suddenly he doesn't know what's wrong with electricity? He might want to try it out, experiment it. So what do? We give him an assistance to prevent him ever wanting to. Says the Torah, Kofa aleihem harkegigis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them a sight to understand that what they recognize, the truth, they saw the truth. And in the absence of sheker, one sees that Kiyum Torah is emes, and doing the alternative is ridiculous. You know what that's tantamount to? Death. So they recognize Kiyum Torah is the purpose of the world, that's worthwhile. And everything else is death. You know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did? He gave them not only an understanding of that, which Matan Torah was an understanding, he gave them a live experience, a physical experience. I'll explain a bit about what I say in a minute. What's a physical experience? Everybody here has had exposures over his history in Yiddishkeit to elevated moments where he felt a great spiritual uplift, whether it was Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, whether it was sometimes in learning Divrei Torah, sometimes during davening, he felt a great spiritual uplift. Memory of those uplifts are difficult because we don't really have a good memory box to put those into. On the other hand, physical experiences you've been to, most people remember physical experiences pretty well. If not, they take out the photograph, they look at it. But again, a reminder. But it's true. An exposure you've been to, and specifically an exposure which made a fear or made an emotional response in you, you remember well. It leaves an impact. Very few people forget something which made a frightening impact on them. So Hashem did them a meiridike favor. And hear what he did. The kindness roller at Mount Terry, he was going there, the minds, their whole level is going up to such a level. The scene, absolute truth. The truth is being Rotter Hashem. Anything against Rotter Hashem is sheker muklet. Absolute sheker. No erech whatsoever. We want to do emes and everything. What's going to happen later? They're going to land on the ground. And they'll have memories of it, but the Yetzirah is going to come back again, and who knows what it's going to be. We know what's going to be. The Yetzirah is going to make it struggle. So Hashem gave them an assistance program. He did something in the physicality so they get a fright, but the purpose of the fright was not to force them to carry out the Torah. They've made the acceptance. They've said, Na'aseh v'nishmeh, the sweetest thing in the world. But he gave them an extra assistance that they should remember what they perceived and saw when they were at their eye level. And you know what it was? It was the, as it were, the life experience of seeing a dangling mountain on top of you. A dangling mountain on top of you leaves an impact. If it happened to anybody here, you'd never forget it. And that didn't leave an impact only on the seichel, it leaves on the emotion, on the body, on the whole instinct and the subconscious. And that's where the person needs it, so he shouldn't do averus. So Hashem gave him an assistance to help them implement the clarity of decision and understanding to which they came at Matan Torah. So therefore they said, Na'aseh v'nishmeh. What is Na'aseh v'nishmeh? We know that emes is to do the right thing, we don't do the wrong thing. That was a clear perception they had, and that was understanding. But there's another way of doing it. Force. Not they needed the force to carry it out. Like that, they would be able to remember and continue it even when the clarity dropped. There's a second depth to this. Further depth. Very philosophical, this we'll make short. Choice is the aleph base of human growth. If man did not have freedom of choice, capacity of choice, ability to choose, he would be a zombie and get no schar and no oinish. He would be like a Esav Hasodeh. He would be like a Chaya Behema, just nature and instinct. Man has been given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu capacity of choice in order to pick good and not to pick bad, correct? There's a byproduct of this necessity which is slightly dangerous, says the Maharal. A byproduct which is philosophically dangerous. A father offers his child a choice of two foods, and he wants the child to pick good food. And he gives him a good education, and therefore the child doesn't take junk food, he picks good food. And he takes the good food, Baruch Hashem. He had a choice. He picked the good food, and the father's happy. But it might happen that the child will think afterwards, it's correct, I picked good food, but I could have picked junk food. I could have picked the alternative. So I'm a volunteer. I have made my decision from my own rotzen, but I could have decided otherwise. So since I'm only here on my own volition, and I could have done otherwise, I've always really got the chance of turning the other way. It's ridiculous. It's like a person saying, I'm listening to GPS, showing me direction to Yerushalayim, but only I decided to listen to it. I don't have to listen to it. So I can get to Yerushalayim by going up north. Can you? It's ridiculous. Never going to turn around, by the next roundabout, go the opposite direction, I can get. I've got choice. It's not ridiculous. Absurd. It doesn't make sense. But in people's nature, it very often happens that they feel, yes, I decided, But he pats himself on the back. I decided out of my own volition and choice, and that means I really have an alternative. Says the Maral, it's of great importance, of critical importance, for a person to know that Torah is not a function of choice. There is no alternative. If Klal Yisrael would have just done Na'aseh v'Nishma, which they did tremendously, and they passed with flying colors, there would be a feeling in Klal Yisrael, we picked the Torah. Oh, but we had an alternative. We could have not picked it. So therefore, we are a bit of, pat our backs. Not like a volunteer exactly, but we picked it. We could have done without. We chose, or we could have not chosen. Says the Maral, it had to be shown that v'loy tia ki isha, that's bedafka, it's bechreach, that there is no choice. But that wasn't shown before the choice. First choose, and after the choice, I want to show you what the alternative is. And when you see what the alternative is, then you will not continue under the philosophical misunderstanding, I picked good, but I could have picked bad. If you would have picked bad, you know what the consequence would have been? Shom t'yek v'raska. You would have had a burial there. Do you hear the beautiful idea? So he says like this, it's so negir to our own lives as well, because there's so many people who've made good choices, and the Yetzirah can't budge them for the good choice. So what's he do? He chased them with different. Well, you chose. And if you chose, you're a very good guy, but you could have chose otherwise. So it's all really bechach. Yes. Kofa alem harkigigis is the stage to back up. That's really the word. To back, like every computer, you've got to back up. To back up their choice. And the backup of the choice enables us to be confident that they don't go around with this feeling of, we chose, we had an alternative. They had to be shown there is no alternative. Kofo aleim harkigigis. By putting this mountain above them, that showed them clarity. There is no alternative. You're great guys, you pick the right thing, the alternative doesn't exist. We'll give you an example, again, from maybe the monetary market. You might know that the currency of America is dropping daily. It's dropping in Israel, it's dropping internationally. I don't know what's happening, it's dropping. Again, we don't know exactly whether it's worthwhile holding on to your shekels or worth holding on to your dollars. If you've got a big amount, it's a big shaila. If you've got a small amount, it's not even a shaila. But people have a lot of money. They've got to know where to put my currency, and they don't. So they thought yesterday was the best day to put into dollars, and fell another 5% today. Ooh, what's happening? So if so, got to buy back shekels. Tomorrow goes up the dollar. They lose from all sides. And they gain from all sides. They don't know how to run the market. If somebody had knowledge of the market ahead of time, would he have a choice what to do? There's no choice. There's no choice whatsoever. But he thinks he's chosen. Now, what would happen if he didn't have knowledge? And he made the right choice. He didn't have knowledge, and he made the right choice. And then somebody calls him up from inside picture. You know, man, you chose the right currency to put your money in. Because I have inside information what's going to happen in the other direction tomorrow, and you really saved your position. What did this do? It converted what he thought he did out of choice. There's no suffering anymore. The whole night he was thinking, no, I chose, maybe I could have chosen different. Maybe I should have chosen different. Once he's made his choice, it kind of backs him up. He says, that's the choice. Hashem Yisborach did this nace, this miracle of Kofa Aleim Harkigigis to give them the insight, understanding that what they had chosen is imperative. It's not a function of choice. It's imperative. There's no world without Torah. There's no life without it. After saying, Na'aseh v'Nishma, comes a Kofa Aleim Harkigigis. There's a third stage. Very surprising in the first view, but when you understand the oimik of it, you'll see it's not only not surprising, it's something more relevant to us than all the others. Tosfos on the spot in Shabbos, he asked the question, he says, Shema yachzru kishiyiru et ha'esh ha'gdeila. There's a chashash chazora when they see the big esh. There's going to be a big esh coming out at a later stage. This esh ha'gdeila is a frightening thing. Maybe they will be chozer, so therefore you need kofar makigis to prevent the chazara. Ad kan divrei Tosfos. On the face of it, it appears that Tosfos is really saying, listen, there's a chashash here that the Kabbalah is not a full one. So, if the Kabbalah works, fine, but in case you back out, we need something to force them. So they've got kilu, a spare tire. They've made a choice, but if the choice doesn't work, then they'll be covered by the kofarim hakigigis. Sounds a bit surprising. We're going to try and explain the mamakim, the depth of the divrei Tosfos, and we see a different picture completely, something dvorim nifloim biyoser. We're trying to explain Reb Shloimeh the Tosfos, who says, Sheme yachrem kishiyiru es ha'esh ha'gdoilo. Tosfos mashma, that the need for kofar hakigigis is because the Kabbalah wouldn't cover all scenarios. We're going to make you a marshal of a tzir. Could we make you a marshal of a tzir? There is a person who has a choice to go to two different places to work. One place where they pay what we call a regular salary, and one place where they really pay a high salary. There's a difference. Where they pay the regular salary, if you come in time, fine. If you come a bit late, nobody shouts at you. You get away with it. You get away with it. You can go out in the middle, and you make a phone call in the middle. But the place where they pay the high salary, you know what they have over there? Very demanding times. If you come at 8:05 instead of 8, 3 times, you're out. You got to be there 8 on the dot. And if anybody notices that during the day, you waste time in some other schmoozing conversations, phone calls, dreaming away, achas dosoi lehomis. It's over. They'll give you shalom. But it's a very lucrative job. So what does the person want? He wants the higher job. Higher pay job. So he goes for the higher pay job. I'll be like sloughing as well. How many alarm clocks does he put on in the morning? Not one. Not two. Not three. Yeah? He even pays somebody, please come and shake me to make sure I get out of bed in time. Don't be mavata, make sure I get out. And he'll be there. Now, the person who gets him out of bed in the morning is a force procedure, which has been, as it were, put, or the alarm clocks, is a force procedure which will be put into action by himself. He's, as it were, set up a mechanism to get him out of bed in times when he should get to the work, and other such activities to remind him. Would you say he's under force? Yes. He'd be under force if he never chose this maslu, this ride, if he didn't choose this avenue. But if he, because he wants a better job, has decided to undertake a more strenuous demand, he himself will set up a mechanism which will force him to carry out it so he'll be able to achieve what he wants to achieve. Said it in simple terms, there is a possibility that a person can be forced outright to do something. That is coercion. Tosfos says it didn't happen. But what did happen? They said Nasa v'nishma. Nasa v'nishma, we said earlier, means what? They made not only a commitment, they not only made an undertaking for the current situation, they made a commitment and undertaking for any situation which might develop. We want to break through. We accept it for all situations. Like the example of marriage which you gave. Acceptance through hot and cold, high and low. We're going through with it. But the person is human. And the person knows that there are certain situations where the yetzerah, the situation, the tension, can become so great that he himself will maybe not want to carry it out tomorrow. So what does he do? He establishes miroish. He sets up from the beginning a mechanism, a manganon, such a setting that will force him to do it because he now wants to do it in all situations to help him through the time where he will not be able to do it without help. Get the idea? And there's a lot of examples for that in one's own avodas hanefesh. that a person makes, for example, one of the eitzes to give in kelim, is to give yourself knas. What's knas? Penalties. In kelim, which was a place that used to work a musar, a person should make himself a penalty. He didn't get up for shachris, give yourself a penalty. He didn't learn enough today, give yourself a penalty. Penalty of what? Either of money, or have to learn an extra hour of not sleeping that night, or not eating, or not putting sugar in your tea. Everybody had his own penalties which suit him. At the moment, we're not advocating heavy stuff. Anybody will pick a very small thing, others it could be damaging as well. But we're giving an example. The penalties which are accepted upon oneself to promote one's own decisions are not coercion. They're the hepech. They are the facilities, the assistance, which enable you to carry out the decisions you have made against the bad weather conditions, against the situations where the Yetzirah will make it difficult. The Yetzirah will make it difficult for you. You need other energies to help you along. So this is the idea of Kofar and Hakagigis after Matan Torah, after saying Nasav Nishma. They say Nasav Nishma. And after saying Nasav Nishma, the story is clear, we're going to do. Yeah, but Nasav Nishma knows that there will be a situation that will be difficult to carry out. So Nasav Nishma wants also to get assistance to get through the difficult times. You know what assistance Kadosh Baruch Hu gave them? Kofar and Hakagigis was their assistance which they wanted. So to make sure that their commitment would be carried out even when it's going to be so difficult that they'll have difficulty to it. It's their alarm clock, as it were. It's their own built-in system to pull through. That's the idea of a person making a strong Kabbalah, a strong commitment, undertaking, that the commitment will mechayev him. When a person makes a commitment to come into the Beis Hamikdash 9:15 in the morning, what does he need a commitment for? He wants to learn, and he wants to come to Beis Hamikdash and encounter Beis Hamikdash. No. He will make a decision to come to the Beis Hamikdash from 9:15. He'll find every day another time the Yetzirah finds this to do and that to do and something else to do. And they're all good excuses. What does he want to do? He wants to get there. What will happen? He won't get there. A person makes a commitment, he'll get there. What does the commitment do? It's a stronger undertaking. And even against commitment and undertaking, there are sometimes tensions. That's what the knas helps for. The knas enables it. That's the kofar and hakagigis, not the force. Nobody ever gave himself a knas which forced himself to do something. It doesn't make sense. You can't give yourself a penalty to force yourself to do something. On the contrary, you can give yourself a penalty to assist you to do something you want to do. You get the idea? That's what Kadosh Baruch Hu did. Kol for Hakagigis after Kabbalah of Nasav and Nishma. That's what we advocate here for ourselves. Accept and look for ways of making sure that this acceptance works through hot and cold, high and low, without any beetle, without any disturbance. We must finish, but before that we have to add a beautiful hesber in one word of the Lashon Chazal. After everything has been said, there's one word which in the Lashon Chazal of Koflem Hakegigis needs explanation. Chazal say, Hashem Yisborach took the mountain, suspended it over the heads, Kegigis like a barrel, and said, Im atem mekablim mutar, if you accept it, fine, if not, Shom teik furaskam. This will be your final burial ground. That's the Lashon Chazal. There's one word, lechura, extra there, and that's the word kegigis, like a barrel. What would be missing in the example if Kadosh Baruch Hu dangled a mountain on top of them? Not like a barrel, like a mountain. It's frightening enough. Believe me, it's an experience nobody ever forget. Can you imagine being under a mountain, not like a barrel? Be under a mountain. It's also frightening. Try and imagine a big mountain there on top of you. It's really frightening. No, like a barrel. What did they add? They said, inside here, which are myriadic insight, a tremendous insight. This insight is built on a dober avuk me'oid, A barrel indicates, we're not talking about a small barrel. There's small barrels, there's big barrels. Anybody ever seen a beer barrel where they make beers? I think they call it a vault. Yeah, you have a few hundred people inside it. There's big barrels. We said when you take a mountain like a barrel, it's bigger than all the beer vaults you've ever seen. The whole mountain became like a barrel. So what does it mean like a barrel? A barrel is a place which is enclosed. A person who's inside the barrel might know he's in a barrel and might not know he's in a barrel. Can you imagine if a person who was born inside a barrel, his family live in a barrel, and he's born inside the barrel, and he grows up and finds some other people there, and he has children inside the barrel, and another family gets set up, and we've got a whole family and a whole village and a whole society inside a barrel. They live there. Whatever standard of living it is, we're not discussing. They live inside the barrel. And eventually the children who've never been out of this barrel are offered, you know, we're going to open the doors and let you out. That's for sure, get me out of here. That's the end of the world. It's like the people thought that before Columbus, that if they go on the ship a bit too far, they're going to fall down. You can't do that. So we're going to let you out in the fresh air, let you have some sunshine. The gzeira is over. No, please don't. And they fight to keep the doors closed. Just leave me inside the barrel. Don't let me out of the barrel. This barrel is my life. You let me out of the barrel, who knows what it's going to be. Zayt, you can fool. Don't be an idiot. A barrel is a restriction. You're in a prison here. This is not life. Life is outside. Don't you tell me. I've been living here for years. My father's been here for years. This is where we live, and this is the real life. Who's the shaita? You know yourself who the shaita is. Say Chazal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu lifted the mountain on top of them like a barrel. And said, do you know what happens to people who don't keep Torah? They live a life in their own imagination. But you know what the life is? They live in a barrel. What's the pshat they live in a barrel? They believe what the life is a life. But if they knew what real life is about, they'd know they're in a barrel. Because the real life is outside what they think is life. And you try and open the door for them, they say, no, just don't. Please, please leave me alone. Don't disturb my comfort. It'll become a wind and there'll be I'm afraid of a draft, afraid of who knows what. They've all type of, don't open the window, just leave me closed here. That's what happens to thousands of our brethren who are Nebuch, living in a barrel. They don't know it. They think they're having a great time in this barrel. And they really believe that this is life. Kofu aleim har kegigis. To say, you know, a person can live 120 years in a gigis, but you know what you understand? It's a burial ground. Because he missed life. So, kofanim harki gigis can also have a connotation that it doesn't mean they will kill you immediately. Shamtei kvuraska mean the person who lived all his life in a barrel, his burial ground's also in the barrel. But his burial ground wasn't what happens when he dies. His life was a burial ground. A useless life. Kofale Marke, you used to show them you've made a tremendous choice, Rabbi Isai. You said, Nasa Benishma, I want to show you what you've done. You got out of the barrel. The people that haven't said Nasa Benishma, they're deep in the barrel. Kofale Marke, you got out of the barrel. We showed you that the life without Torah, you're in a barrel. You managed to get out of the barrel. Rabbi Isai, time doesn't have us to go on. Let us make a sikkum. Every one of these yesoidas, which we have discussed, all these principles we've discussed, have got practical application for our own lives as well. Maybe the foremost of it is that Klal Yisrael at the time were not mechuyev mitzvahs at all. They were not mechuyev mitzvahs. And they accepted Torah. We today are already mechuyev, but we also have a Kabbalah Sotera. And because of all these sections we used to discuss, which is understanding the Bechira, and understanding what the Goyim didn't understand, understanding why Kihem Chayinu, that Yiddishkeit and Torah is our life, understanding the idea of the inside information which you have what our life's about, and understanding that the commitment is not just a commitment when we understand, it's a commitment for the time when we don't understand, and finally understanding how lucky we have to be, and how happy we have to be, that we got out of the barrel. Never envy somebody who's in a barrel, even though it looks like they're having a great time down there. Because Baruch Hashem, we should all be zeicher to mikayim nasa v'nishma in the best possible way. and Kadosh Baruch Hu help, we should all be able to mekayim it in the best possible way as well. Here, but I'm